Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarech, today's daf is Mem Hei Masechta Shabbos, the 107th daf in Shas. We pick up on the first line on Mem Hei Amar Aleph. Baruch Hashem, skies have been relatively quiet tonight. Matzoi Shabbos, Parshas Toldos. We ended off the daf shir on Friday before Shabbos with a lot of pain, which still remains, and anxiety of Klal Yisrael. Where I sit in my study from Ramat Beit Shemesh, which is the place that I generally learn the daf with you in the few minutes that I have. I'm not learning with the Talmidim in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh, and Etivarye, and the Gris Kolel. I can hear the planes that are heading down south from our brave soldiers, Chayalei Eretz Yisrael, and we really feel the escalation. I could hear it in the air, because when there is a targeted attack on terrorist cells from the air, the planes thunder over Beit Shemesh on the way towards Ashkelon, Ashdod, and ultimately towards Gaza. So I'm happy to report that as of now, Baruch Hashem, this Matzai Shabbos, as I was sitting and preparing, we haven't heard much noise, which Be'ezer Hashem should be a good simen for Klal Yisrael. As we said, Kiddush Levana and Mevarech the Chodesh. The Gemara picks up on the top of Mem Hei Amid Aleph, discussing the position of the Tanoim vis-a-vis Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. 2 days ago, in the overview to Hilchos Muksa, in the Halacha section, we gave background to the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon generally, as a rule of thumb, holds that something that is usable on Erev Shabbos, even if it wasn't designated on Shabbos, is not considered muktzah, while Rabbi Yehuda holds that one needs to create a positive designation for muktzah. The Gemara in the previous sugya, which we will not review, on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, had discussed that Rav is following the position of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara continues on top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph that says that this position of Rav seems to be corroborated in a different account. It seems that it's logical that Rav follows Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rav, because Rav had taught, ner al gabe dekel b'Shabbos. One is allowed to place a candle on top of a palm tree on Shabbos. Ve'ei menichin ner al gabe dekel b'yomtif. But one is not allowed to place a candle on top of a palm tree on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara is going to use this fact to deduce the opinion of Rav, and to understand that we need a couple of introductions. If a candle would be muktzah all Shabbos, even after it's gone out, then there would be no reason to prohibit putting it up on top of a tree. The only reason it would be prohibited to put a candle on top of a tree is if it would be permissible to move the candle, and then we would be afraid that an individual would climb the tree. This is how Rashi explains the Gemara. Hence, the Gemara spells out, if you're going to say that Rav follows Rabbi Yehuda, that the candle is muktzah the entire Shabbos, once it was lit on Bein Hashmashos, then we understand the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos, it's going to be muktzah, and therefore there's no problem to put it up in the tree, because he won't have any temptation to go and remove it, and thereby come to climb on the tree, and possibly cut off a branch. However, on Yom Tov, of course we know you're allowed to move a candle on Yom Tov and light it from one fire to the next. Therefore, it's not muktzah, and therefore to place it on the tree might encourage an individual to come and climb the tree and cut off a branch, which would be prohibited on Yom Tov as well. Eliyahu Amitka Rabbi Shimon, but if you say we follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says that the candle is not muktzah, Mali Shabbos u'Mali Yom Tov. Why is it Shabbos would be permissible? At the end of the day, on Shabbos as well, the candle will not be muktzah after it goes out. The Gemara says, but we've got another problem. Seven lines on the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Rav ki Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei. Does Rav hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Va'boi minei de Rav, because the following question was asked of Rav. Ma'le teltelei sharga de chanukta mikmei chavrei b'shabata. What's the halacha about carrying a candle from Chanukah, in other words, the Chanukah menorah, in front of chavrei, which are Persians, on Shabbos? V'amalu shapir dami, and they said that it was acceptable. So we see from here that the candle is not muktzah. Rashi explains the reason why he wants to take it away on Shabbos is because there are two explanations in Rashi. We'll go with the second one, that, and this is how Tosfos learns as well, that it was the day of an idol worship holiday. During that time, the only candles that were allowed to be out were the candles of idol worshippers. To which the Gemara responds that the reason why we make it is shasat chakshani, it was a sakana. The amalei Rav Kana, Rav Ashla, Rav Hachi Ilchasa, what is the halacha? Amalu kedai Rabbi Shimon l'smochal b'shas hatchak. We could rely on the opinion of Rabbi Shimon b'shas hatchak and say that the candle is not muktzah. B'aminei Rish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked the following shaila to Rabbi Yochanan. Chitim shezron b'karka ubeitim shetachas tarnegolas mahu. What's the halacha in regards to wheat that has grown in the ground, has been planted in the ground, and eggs under a chicken vis-a-vis muktzah? Rashi explains that the wheat has been placed in the ground, but hasn't grown into the ground that you would be over kotzer, cutting, by taking it out. What's halacha? Ki lesa Reb Shimon muktzah. Maybe, when do we say that Reb Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah? Hecha deloy dachya biyadayim. That's only where he didn't push away with his hands. When he takes the wheat out of his house and he puts it in the ground, he's also pushing it away. Then that's enough for it to fall into the category of muktzah. But hecha d'dachi b'yadayim islay muktzah. When he pushes it away with his hands, maybe it's enough to be muktzah. Odil maloshna, or Rabbi Shimon is makil in all cases, including d'achya b'yadayim. Amalei, he responded, ein muktzah Rabbi Shimon el shemen shebener v'shashul doylek. That Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion the only time that there's muktzah is when a candle is lit, and since there is a mitzvah to have a candle lit on Shabbos, and there is an isur for it to go out, we did not allow people to be metaltel the candle because it's huktzah li isura. Rashi explains the Gemara Huktzah l'mitzvaso v'huktzah li'isuro in the following manner. That since the mitzvah is to have a candle lit, and we don't let you be metaltel it, that's because we don't want the candle to go out. Not because it's ostensibly huktzah l'mitzvaso, but we're afraid that it's going to go out, it's huktzah li'isuro. Which leads to the Gemara's next question. Aside from the concept of muktzah, in cases where the object is not designated for Shabbos, there is another type of muktzah. And that is the idea of huktzah l'mitzvaso, something that's been designated for the muktzah. From the language right now that the Gemara uses, that since it was huktzah l'muktzah mitzvah, it's huktzah l'isur, the Gemara deduces the following. V'leslei huktzah l'mitzvaso. It sounds like that you're saying that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that simply because it's designated for a mitzvah, it's going to be muktzah, but rather because of the potential isur of the candle going out. V'lesle huktzah l'mitzvaso, and he doesn't hold the idea of huktzah l'mitzvaso. Tanya, didn't we learn in a braisa? Sichacha kilchasa, if there was chach that was done, put up according to halacha, v'itra bikramim, and it's adorned with beautiful weaved clothing, ubistinin, and with sheets, hametsuyarn, with nice drawings on it, v'talaba gozim. Here, the Brisa in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Yud describes a beautiful way a sukkah is adorned, and there are walnuts, aparsikin, apricots, shkedim, almonds, rimonim, pomegranates, v'apricholei shel anavim, clusters of grapes, v'atar shel shibolim, and crowns of wheat stalks, yenos, oils, shmonim, wines, shmonim, oils, v'silsos, and different type of flowers. Also, the statement that they would use all of those things on and put them to adorn the sukkah. You're not allowed to take from them ad matzah yom tov achron until yom tov is over. The yom tov sukkah is over. If they make a condition that they're going to use it, let's say 4 days in or 5 days in, so then they were only designated for noi during that period of time. Now, this braisa clearly is delineating the idea of huktzah l'mitzvaso, that once something is designated for a mitzvah, it's not supposed to be used for something else. Says the Gemara, earlier, it seemed that we had said, according to Rabbi Shimon, the only problem was Huktzali Sura. But the fact that it was Huktzali Mitzvah is not a problem. Responds the Gemara, we might do Rabbi Shimon. How do you know that this is following Rabbi Shimon? The Tani says, well, I'll answer you. Tani Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yochan, Ein Oltam Eitzim Min HaSukah B'Yamdif. You're not allowed to take down wood from a Sukah B'Yamdif. El Min HaSamachla. Only from, the wood from the Sukah itself are prohibited. However, pieces of wood that were put there yesterday, clearly they were put there not to be used as part of the sukkah, and permissible to take them. Rabbi Shimon Matir, and Rabbi Shimon says that one is allowed to take from them on Yom Tov. However, v'shavim b'sukkas hachag b'chag shehi asura. However, on the chag of sukkas, in such a case, then it's prohibited to take from the sukkah, because there it's not just wood of a hut that's at stake, but rather what we're talking about is not simply wood of a hut like in a regular Yom Tov, but we're talking about something that was designated for the mitzvah. Shiyasura vim hisnach aleha kol fi tnai. And if a tnai is made, so then it follows the rules of tnai. This the Gemara finds as a compelling raya, and therefore the Gemara modifies what it had quoted from Rabbi Yochanan. Ke'ein shemen shebener karminan. Rabbi Shimon holds of things that are muksa like shemen shebener. Ho the huktzal mitzvaso huktzal isura. Once it is huktzal mitzvaso, so then it is considered huktza li isuro. And ein hachinami. During the time the candle is lit, it's aser because it's huktza li mitzvaso. Itmar nami arvachia brava Rabbi Yochanan ein muksa Rabbi Shimon el ke'ein Shemin Shebener Bishashudog, Hov Huxal Mitzvah, Huxal Isuro, since it's designated for a mitzvah, it's going to be Asur. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Muktzah Rabbi Shimon, El Groves Vitzimukim Belvat. Rav Yehuda says in Ein Shmuel, the only thing that's Muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, are dates and raisins. Those are put up onto a roof, and as we're going to see later on, from Rashi, Memheim Abeis, those things are particularly muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon, and even according to Rabbi Shimon, because it falls into two categories. It is both lo chazi, it's not edible, as well as it's dach biyadayim. The individual pushes away that it away with his hands. And as we mentioned in halacha from the daily daf on daf mem gimel, Rabbi Shimon does hold of muktzah. However, he holds of a muktzah only if a person does something active to make sure that it's not going to be used for Shabbos. Then, for whatever the reason behind muktzah, could be from Ve'echin Ve'es Asher Yaviu and Asmachta from that pasuk, or other explanations, Rabbi Shimon says then a person is not allowed to be metaltel that item. Asks the Gemara, Umidi Achrini Lo, and nothing else is muktzah v'atanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa? Haya ochel b'te'enim. If a person was eating figs, v'hoser, and there was some that were left over, v'helon l'gag, lasos men grogros, and he put them on the roof to turn them into dried figs. Tainim are figs, and to turn them into dried figs. Ba'novim, grapes, v'hoser v'helon l'gag, lasos men samukin, to make them into raisins. Lo yochel atshmi yasmin. And so far, so good. That brisa in Beitza Chavavim Beis is fine. The problem is going to be in the next part. And the same applies to apricots and other pickled items. Asks the Gemara, who's this going according to? We just got through saying that Rabbi Shimon only holds a muksa by grogros vitzimukim. Mani, who's it going according to? Ila Rabbi Yehuda, if we're going to say it's following Rabbi Yehuda, umahecha delodachi bidaim islam muksa. When it comes to a case in where you don't push it away with your hands, Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktzah. For example, a mita sheyichta le'almos, even if it's not dachi b'daim, it's considered muktzah. Uma heich delo dachi b'daim isli muktzah. Heicha de dachi b'daim. These cases of the peros are when he put it away with his hands, bringing it on the roof. Lo kol shekein, certainly, and we wouldn't need to teach us that. It will be obvious that that would be muktzah. El lav Rabbi Shimon hi. We must say that this is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But the problem is that we see from here that Rabbi Shimon holds that there's more than growers at simukim that's muktzah. Says the Gemara, no. Lo oilem Rabbi Yehuda. Really, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Aye. If Rabbi Yehuda holds there's muktzah even when it's lo dachi b'dayim, certainly where it's machya
biyadayim. Va'ochel etzrichle. The chiddush of the Gemara is in regards to achila. Sakadai techamina. I would have thought kivin the ochel va'azel loli boy hazmana. Since the fellow is bringing it up to the roof only to prepare it for eating, so then in such a case you don't need preparation beforehand because his whole intention is to make it for eating. Kamash malon, the chiddush is kivan that no, the Rabbi Yehuda will say it's aser. Kivan dehelon legag, since it was brought up to the roof, asuche aschel adaita minayu, he removed his mind from it, and Rabbi Yehuda considers it dachi beidaim, even though his intention is to clearly bring it down. Mark continues on last line. Boy min Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe me Rebbe. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, that's going to be important that he was the son of Rebbe, asked of Rebbe. Pitzilei tamari the Rabbi Shimon mahu. What's the halacha in regards to dates that are not ripe? Are they also subject to muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon? Amarle, he responded, as we mentioned on Amar Aleph, ein muktzah Rabbi Shimon el grogos v'tzimukim belvad. The only thing that's muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon is either dates, or more precisely figs that have been brought up to the roof, or grapes that were brought up, tzimukim are grapes that were brought up to the roof to make raisins. So, what's your question? The halacha is that unripe foods would not be considered muktzah. Now, after the response that Rebbe gave, the Gemara asks the following question. From the fact that Rebbe took seriously the question and responded that it would not be muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon, sounds like the Rebbe goes in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. V'Rebbe lesle muktzah, does Rebbe not hold of muktzah? Again, we need to qualify. When the Gemara says lesle muktzah, it doesn't mean that we reject muktzah in all cases, but generally it means doesn't hold of the muktzah of Rabbi Yehuda and agrees with Rabbi Shimon. V'atanam, but didn't we learn? E'mashkin v'shochtin esamid bariyos, you're not allowed to give to drink and slaughter on Yom Tov non-domesticated animals, but you're allowed to give to drink and slaughter domesticated animals. Vitanya, we learned in Braisa, Eloin Midbarios, what constitute domesticated animals? Kol Shiyotzeis bePesach, they leave, Midbarios, Eloin Midbarios, what constitutes undomesticated animals that live in the Midbar, that live in the desert? Kol Shiyotzeis bePesach v'nichnasos b'revia, whichever goes out to live on their own, they don't need to live amongst civilization from Pesach until the first quarter of the winter of Mar Cheshvan. And they're out the whole time. So those animals that are out the whole time are considered midbarios. Baisos, what are considered domesticated animals, from the word bais, kol shiyotzeis v'ros chutz l'tchum, they go out and they leave the tchum boundaries of the civilization during the day, ubos v'lanua, but they come back and they sleep amongst the civilization. That's considered baisos. They don't have to be locked around a gate, but they constantly come back. Rebbe Omer Elu Ve'elu Baisosein, we considered even the ones that go out for the entire summer as domesticated. Ve'elu Midbaris, well considered Baris, Kol Shiros Be'efer, those that pasture in dirt or ash. And they don't come into civilization. So we have over here two different opinions of the Braisa. What qualifies as animals that are not muktzah that one could shecht on Yom Tov? This Braisa in Maseches Beitz, which could be found in Daf Mem, is discussing which animals could be shechted. Now, if Rebbe said qualifies some of these animals, then he's working with muktzah. If he's working with muktzah, then in these types of things, it sounds like he's going according to Rebbe Yehuda. Or the Gemara suggests a different approach. You could say he's going like Rebbe Yehuda as per the question, or we could suggest the following answer. We could say that these animals are considered like figs and grapes that are dachya, biyadayim. Or you could say, Lidvarov de Rabbi Shimon Kamarle. He's going according to Rabbi Shimon, Velelo Svirale. In the first teretz of the Gemara is suggesting that really there's no difference between animals and grogros tzimukim. Just like we said above from Rashi that grogros tzimukim are lo chazi and dachi biyadayim, so too animals are dachi biyadayim, and since Rashi explains to Dimar Maskli Boisema that you gotta schlep to get them, so then in their situation right now, it's eina ru'uya. Or it suggested the Gemara that Rebbe
was answering the question that his son had asked him, Alibda Rav Shimon, even though he himself doesn't follow that opinion. Vibay Seima, a third possible teretz is, L'devreim de Rabbanon Karmeluhu, that in this Brisa, in Beitz Anaf Mem, Rebbe is not talking according to his opinion. His opinion is to follow Rebbe Shimon. However, he is disagreeing with the Rabbanon, who are Choshish M'Muksa, but are lenient on these types of animals that return only at night. And Rebbe says, no, even if they return some time of the year, we still consider them domesticated animals. Rebbe is saying, I don't hold a muksa at all. That when they go out during Pesach and they return in Mar Cheshvan, the Baisis Ninu, that we consider them domesticated. Rabbanan Amrulein, the Rabbanan say to him, Lo, Midabrus Ninu, we consider them undomesticated animals. But Rebbe himself will hold like Rebbe Shimon. Amr Rabbi Barachana Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Allah Rebbe Shimon. Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rebbe Yochanan that Rebbe Yochanan reported the halacha is like Rebbe Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan really say the halacha is Rebbe Shimon? V'abamine, who sava kriya. There was an elderly man. Some say that he was from the place of Kroya. And some say, by the way, here there's a different discussion of what Kroya means. It's generally understood that Kroya means the place that he was from. Some say he was a Saba from Kroya. Some say he was from Siruy, Rabbi Yochanan. He asked of Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kina shel tarin golas malatu tule b'shabes. A chicken coop of a rooster, what's Allah in regards to carrying it on Shabbos? Amale klum asui el tarin golem. He said it's only made for the rooster. And if it's only made for the rooster, then it's going to be muktzah. There is a discussion what exactly is the Isser over here that Rashi is talking about. Maybe the Pnei Yoshua is quoted as suggesting that a chicken coop becomes like a chatzotzros, that the Gemara earlier on Daf Lamed Vav said that Rabbi Yehuda holds is asur because it has no purpose except for blowing on Shabbos, and hence it's muksa according to Rabbi Yehuda. Similarly, over here, the chicken coop wasn't designated for anything except for the tarnagolas, and that would qualify as something that's muksa. Either way, the Gemara is assuming that it is going to be muksa according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hachamai iskin in this bay afrochme. So the Gemara says no. Over here, it's going to be also, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because there is a dead bird inside. So even Rabbi Shimon would agree in such a case that's muktzah machmas gufo, and therefore the kina is going to be muktzah as well. Says the Gemara, but that's only according to one opinion. That's the opinion that says Rabbi Shimon holds that dead Bali Chaim are muktzah. But according to the position that says Rabbi Shimon holds that even live dead animals are also mutter, my ikol lemeimer, what are you going to say? How could you explain that Rabbi Yochanan said that the chicken coop is asur? Answers Gemara: Hachamai iskinan b'di'isrei beitza. We're talking about a case where there was an egg that was laid on Shabbos and is nolad, and even Rabbi Shimon is nolad, is modef for nolad. Ask Gemara: is that really true? V'amar Rav Nachman mad islay muktzah islay nolad. The less lay muktzah, less lay nolad. The man d'amar who holds of muktzah holds of nolad. According to Man Lomar that doesn't hold of muktzah, he doesn't hold of nolad. Answers the Gemara, Di'ispe beitzas efroach. Over here it's not an issue of nolad, but there is a egg of a bird. Rashi explains that those eggs were very, very, very tough, and they couldn't even be penetrated by a dog to eat, because the eggshell was so thick. And in such a case, since it's not edible both for human beings and for dogs, it has no purpose, and it's also to be metaltel, that egg. And since there's an egg inside, you're not allowed to carry the coop as well. However, if there's nothing in the coop, then Rabbi Yochanan would agree that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and not like Reb Yehuda, who would say the coop would be muktzah in all instances. According to this tradition, Reb Yochanan paskin like Reb Shimon. Kiyasa Reb Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Reb Yochanan alocha k Reb Yehuda. However, Reb Yitzchak bar Reb Yosef quoted that Reb Yochanan paskin like Reb Yehuda. For Reb Shua ben Levi, I'm alocha k Reb Shimon. But Reb Shua ben Levi followed Reb Shimon. I'm Reb Yosef, Hainu da Amar Rabba bar Rechana, Reb Yochanan. Amru, this is consistent with what we said above, that Rabbi Rechana said in the name of Reb Yochanan alocha k Reb Shimon. Amru, Vilei lo svira lei. Rabbi Yochanan would say the Bnei Yeshiva are following Rabbi Shimon, but he himself didn't hold that way. Amale Abai le Rabbi Yosef, Atal tis Rabbi Yochanan ki Rabbi Yehuda, and Abai said to Rabbi Yosef, and you hold. Before you had heard this from Rabbi Yitzchak Rashi yet, that Rabbi Yochanan was going like Rabbi Yehuda, it was a davar pashut. You needed the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak to say that Rabbi Yochanan said the halach was like Rabbi Yehuda. It's well known that Rabbi Yochanan followed Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi iklu be Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi went to visit Rabbi Abba de Min Chaifa, v'nafum in arasa aglime, and a candelabra which was muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Shimon told us on the Mishnah Mem Dalet Amid Aleph that only a live candle is muktzah, but a candelabra is mashma that's going to be mutter. Rabbi Yehuda is machma on the candelabra, and a candelabra fell on Rabasi's clothing, v'lo tiltala, and he didn't move it. My time, Allah mishum de Rabasi, tell me de Rabbi Yochanan. It must be because Rabasi was a talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, s'vila dislay muktzah, and Rabbi Yochanan follows Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a muktzah. So Abaye says we could have inferred this even if Rabbi Yitzchak had not taught us this, which he was surprised that Rabbi Yosef only knew this from the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak, because we know that his Talmud, Rabbi Asi, was Machmir. Says Rabbi Yosef back, that's not such a strong raya. Amalei menorasa karmet, you're talking about a candelabra. Menorasa shani, a candelabra is different. Amar Rabacha Barchanina, Amar Rabbi Asi. Hayru Reish Lakish Betzidam, Reish Lakish taught. Menorah nitels biyado achas, if you had a candelabra that's carried in one hand, mutel etautel, so then in such a case, it's permissible to carry the menorah. B'shtei yodov asura letautel. But if in two hands, then you're not allowed to carry it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan reported, Anu ein lanu ela b'nerka Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Hilchas Muktzah, there is an opinion of Ner, according to Rabbi Shimon to Mekel, Avol Menorah, but even according to Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to Norah, Bein Nitla b'yad achas, Bein Nitla b'shtei yodav, Asa l'tautla. It's prohibited to carry a menorah. Menorah, we're more machmer about. Why is a menorah? Why is it that we're more machmer menorah? The time of my rabbi of Yosef time to my whole va'adam kavah lo makom. Since a person designates the place for the menorah and he designates it to be used for a particular area, so it falls into the category. Tosis Dibar Maskel Ein Lanu explains Tadachya Biyadayim. It falls into the category of something that's pushed away with his hand, and even Rabbi Shimon is moda to Rabbi Yehuda. So even though we saw from Rav Asi, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, that he was Machmer Menorah, that doesn't necessarily indicate that his Rabbi Yochanan followed Rabbi Yehuda. Really, maybe his Rabbi Yochanan followed Rabbi Shimon. I Menorah. Menorah, as Tosis Dibar Maskel Ein explains, is considered Dachi Bedayim, and therefore even Rabbi Shimon, as we saw above in our Sugya, holds of Muktzah where it's Dachi Bedayim. The Gemara is not happy with this Teretz, because the Gemara says it does not seem that kavua lo makom Rabbi Shimon is machmer. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye was not happy with Rav Yosef's response. Varei kilas chasanim da'adam kavua lo makom. A person designates a place for a canopy. Va'amar shmur Rav Shimon b'chinya kilas chasanim, the canopy of a chasan mutal tosa, you're allowed to move it and mutal farka b'shabbos, and you're allowed to take it apart on Shabbos. Rashi deals with the issues of whether be allowed to take apart a canopy on Shabbos, and he explains that this does not apply to many canopies. Take a look and see Rashi's conditions, but at the end of the day, in terms of Hilchas Muktzah, it's not going to be a problem, even though Soser, in many instances, it might be. Bottom line is, Kavua Makom is not enough to be Machmir, according to Rabbi Shimon. Tosis points out Dibra Maslov Kilas Chasanim that there are cases which are absolute kavua makom, not like Kilas Chasanim and Menorah, and in those cases then Rabbi Shimon would be Moda. However, at the end of the day, we're now stuck with our original question, and that is, why didn't we just simply infer from the story of Rabbi Asi that Rabbi Yochanan is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Asi was machmer on muktzav and menorah, and Rabbi Shimon is not. Elam Rabbi, rather Abaye suggests that over here, what we're talking about with Rabbi Asi was a different story. Elam Rabbi b'shel chulyas. It was a candelabra that was made out of different pieces. Ihachi my time of Rabbi Shimon Lakish the Shari. What's the reason of Shimon Lakish that makes it permissible? In the teretz of Abaye, Abaye was suggesting the following chash when it comes to menorah. It has nothing to do with muktzah, but it's a fear vis-a-vis boneh. And that is that if we allow a person to be metaltel, a menorah that could be taken apart, then they might come to take it apart and put it together on Shabbos and be over soser and boneh, respectively. It's for this reason Rabbi Asi was machmir. Then, we could not have inferred from the story of Rabbi Asi, and then Rabbi Yochanan needed to have a discussion on his own, and it needed to be recorded with Rabbi Yosef, what exactly is the position of Rabbi Yochanan that he actually held like Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis Muktzah. The Gemara now begins to discuss in regards to this Chulyos menorah. So what's the reason of Shimon Lakish that says that a Chulyos is permissible? Answers the Gemara, my chulyos ke'en chulyos, this be'chidki. We're not talking about something that has actual parts entirely, but rather it has chidki. In other words, the Mefarshim explain, it's not entirely a menorah that you could take apart, but it resembles it. And therefore, some say it's asir, and some say it's not. It only has these chidki that are, Rashi explains, there are crevices in the menorah that make it look like it falls apart, that's taken apart, even though it does not. So therefore, there are only some who are machmir. Everybody is machmir on one of full chulyos. Hilka chulyos ben gdol ben ketana asura taltel. A large or small menorah of chulyos that could be taken apart is prohibited, unless you put it back together. Gedola nami d'ispe chitri gzeira atu gdol de chulyos. However, if it's a large one that cannot be taken apart, but looks like one that could be taken apart, they made a gzeira. Ki pligi, there was a machlokis b'ketana in regards to a small one, where Bishim ben Lakish was mekel. Mar savar gazrinan, umar savar lor gazrinan. One man d'amar holds that we do make the gzeira, and one man d'amar holds that we do not. This Bezrat Hashem concludes daf mem hei in the Gemara and Pshat. And we now go on to the halacha section. Bezras Hashem Yisparech, our halacha topic from Daf Memhei Amabez, is the issue that Tosis raises on Memhei Amabez Libra Maschil Hacha, and that is the status of animals, pets. Are they muktzah on Shabbos or are they not? The Gemara, when discussing the position of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that muktzah is limited to a very prescribed set of cases, and one does not need to positively prepare something before Shabbos, discusses the reason for a chicken coop being muktzah on Shabbos. And the Gemara suggests the reason is because that there is a dead bird inside. Tosas in the Ibra Maskel, Hachem Ma'eskinah makes a very powerful diuk, which is rejected lahalacha by the poskim, but contended with nevertheless. Rabbeinu Yosef was medayik that the Gemara speaks about a chicken coop that has a dead chicken or bird inside. However, if it was alive, why did the Gemara not give us an example of a live bird? Must be because, says Rabbeinu Yosef, it wouldn't be muktzah. Why would it not be muktzah? Because it could be used to play with a child, and actually Tosa's example is to calm a child down when the child is crying. Tosa says that that doesn't seem to be correct, because the Gemara, Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, seems to say that a bird is muktzah as well. Therefore, Tosa has a very strong line. Elavadai balechayim muktzenheim kigros v'tzimukin u'muktzah osam gam miklovim. We consider balechayim muktzah entirely, says Tosa, and Tosa rejects the opinion of Rabbeinu Yosef, animals are muktzah. This is found in Shulchan Aruch as well. In Simin Shin Ches, Si'if Amites, the Mechaber Paskins, also the Taltal Behemel Chayiv Of. It's prohibited to be metaltal an animal that is domesticated, because we view them as Muktzah Machmas Gufo, as the Mishnah Berurah explains. Mishnah Berurah goes out of his way to say, even if the animals are normally in the house, even if it's the animal is accustomed for being in the house, nevertheless, the halacha is, one is not allowed to be metaltel. Skipping to the bottom line, and then we'll paint how the halacha developed and the process of it in between. Nevensal in his ha'oras to Simin Shin Ches, Sif, Lamid test to the Mishnah Berurah says Afilu Bale Chaim Haomnim L'Shashua Heim Muktzim. Even animals, pets that are there to play with are also considered Muktza. It had been brought to my attention that some had reported differently in the name of Rav Levinsal against his Ha'ara in the Mishnah Berurah, and I asked him about it, and his response to me was that there is a svara to be makel, however, the rush was machmir. I never knew what rush he was speaking about, but now in the Daf Yomi, I was zochet to see in the Oz V'Hodor Pnine Halacha edition, they quote a Shailas Uchuvas Ma'arach Or Zerua, that the Or Zerua actually asked the rush this Shaila about pets. He was talking about birds. It sounds like something along the lines of a parrot. It's in Shailas Uchuvas Ma'arach Or Zerua, Shailas Sov Simin Pei Aleph. And there the Or Zerua asked the rush that if the Gemara only prohibits klishir instruments as being prohibited because you might come to break it, but otherwise there'll be mutter to be metatel, even though they don't have any other purpose, argues the Or Zerua. Certainly, when it comes to an animal who's there to entertain a person, like a parrot, one should be able to carry it in its cage. That was the argument that Ma'arach Or Zerua suggested to the Rush. The Rush rejected it. The Rush said that since Chazal were not mechalik, all Bale Chaim are considered Muktza Machmas Gufa. That was the meaning of Rav Nevinsal's psak in regards to the Rush, and he told me he thought that even though there might be a tzad to be Mekel, I know that there are other things that are quoted in the name of Rav Nevinsal, it could be in other occasions he did discuss that possible svar of the Ma'arach Or Zerua, but he said to me at the end of the day the Rush is Machmir. There are two big exceptions to the rule, but don't fall into the category of most pets. Number one, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perik Yud Ches Sifkatan Samach Beis quotes this rush as well from the Ma'arach Or Zerua, exactly the way his Talmud Rav Nevinsal told me, prohibits pets in general. However, he suggests that it could very well be that the one exception would be a blind man's dog, that in such an instance, the dog is considered muktzah at all because he's omed umiyuchad l'shimush for tiltal. In other words, it's not just a dog that you every once in a while you will play with it or you won't play with it. Here is a dog that is mamish a kli for a blind person. So that would be exception number one in terms of pets. The only other exception that I found, obviously, all I'm doing with you now is discussing the sugya, presenting to you the sugya as it comes out, and now as I heard from my great Rabbeim. The one other exception to the rule might be an aquarium. Despite the fact that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that an aquarium, let's say a what we will call a fishbowl, in Or HaChaim Chelek Dalet Siman Tes Zayin, he's quoted as saying that a fishbowl that's clearly there to to make the house ornate, it's something that's there that's nice. In such a case, one could have argued that that does not qualify as Bale Chaim, and the whole fishbowl is considered a kli. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe is machmer. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagreed. He felt, and this is quoted by Rav Nevinsal as well, that at least an aquarium would qualify as a kli, particularly Rav Shlomo Zalman had, because it's normal for a person to move a fishbowl from place to place, and one could add, it's constantly under your domain and under your control, unlike Balei Chaim, even Balei Chaim that are domesticated. And therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman allowed for the moving of a fishbowl. And he pointed out that even the Rush, who was Machmir, would say that the fishbowl was not included in the general category of Balei Chayim Muktzim. This is the lowdown of the halachos of pets on Shabbos in the basic Gemara, Rishonim, and Poskim.